Coherency is optional.
The Sunday Skypers. The RPG Actual Play Podcast.
Welcome to Sunday Skypers. This is Dirk. This is our 50th episode, and 50 for us is like 100 for anybody else, so we figured we might as well celebrate now since we may never reach 100. By the way, if you've only been catching this feed and wonder where the rest of the 50 episodes are, go to the website and check the link to the archives. Well, to celebrate, we invited the first person who gave us feedback on our first show, and the only person who's a follower on our Podbean site, the wise and talented Christopher, Exophore, Zophore, many pronunciations, one great fellow. He was gracious enough to accept our invitation and put up with our hijinks. We asked him to pick a game, and we settled on a Fate-accelerated D-list superheroes game that Kedemono had working on. So we have Kedemono jamming members of the Harbor City Irregulars, Christopher as the Long Arm of Justice, Wilhelm as Calypso Khan, Zerker as Eskimo Girl, and myself as Thundersteel. Also, stay tuned after the game as we get some comments on the last couple of years of gaming from some of the folks who haven't been on the podcast in a while.
Welcome to the show, Christopher.
I am.
Or Zophore.
Shut up, let him speak.
You have no idea how giddy with excitement I am.
Like a schoolgirl.
Don't worry, we'll solve that.
And thanks everyone for testing out my superhero rules to see how well they work.
All right, you were talking about that. And is it all right if I call you Christopher?
Absolutely.
Yes, okay. It's all Christopher's fault.
Actually, the X in Zophore is pronounced the same as the X in Christmas. So.
Oh, Chris-O-4. That's why I keep saying Chris-O-Face instead.
I actually never saw it. I just heard it on the Monkey Super Jetpack. And there's Nikki who gave the pronunciation of Zophore.
Yeah, which is the way I pronounce it in my brain when I'm secretly being a ninja.
I see everyone's got the characters pretty much.
I was kind of hoping we would focus on Christopher's stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, so. He's chosen to be the team leader. So
sorry.
Good luck with that job.
Yeah, I didn't put one of my aspects as cat herder, so I don't know how well it would do.
Probably about as well as anyone could with the irregulars. So I'll just go over the modifications I've done. If our listeners out there play Fate Accelerated, the changes I made, they're really simple. I've added a new generic stunt called Hero. It's rated in +1 increments. And it basically, it's a generic stunt, which is why it's only a +1 instead of +2 increments. You basically, if you're going to do something, you can use one of your superhero powers, you can actually add in the bonus from your hero stunt. It's graduated, so D-listers, and we're doing a Mystery Man game, so D-listers are 0 to 1. And looking at the characters, that's pretty much the range I see in the characters. Only Thundersteel, the true superhero.
At one time.
At one time, yeah.
But he's a little rusty.
Mm-hmm. Still got a little...
his onboard fax machine.
Latest technology, yes.
Yes.
So, since he's from the 80s, he has dial-up when he needs to connect to computers.
That's right. He's got to find a landline.
Wait, what's my American Online password?
For the podcast here, should go around and have everybody introduce their characters, I think.
We absolutely have to start with Christopher.
Okay. All right, Christopher.
Put me on the spot. Okay. So, my superhero is the Long Arm of Justice. A.K.A. Billy Crippen, agricultural day laborer. His superpower is he has an extra long reach, so he can always get to the very top shelf without even stepping on sticky toes. It's really useful for picking fruit and stuff. His eye concept is always reaching for the next level. His trouble is he's desperate to make a name for me and the team. Aspects are Long Arm of Justice, Friend of the Farmers. Oh, and I didn't think of my third aspect.
We can do that in play.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. His approaches are careful +3, clever and quick +2, flashing sneaky +1, and forceful +0, and his hero is also a +0. His stunts are, because I am driven to lead the team to the next level, I get +2 when I forcefully create an advantage to inspire my team. Thank you for that, by the way, John.
Yep.
Or Kitamono, I'm sorry.
No, John.
Because I am a friend of the farmer, I get a +2 when I cleverly try to get information from agricultural agents. And because you cannot outrun the Long Arm of Justice, I get +2 when I quickly try to apprehend a no good Nick.
Fine word.
And my extras, my superhero gear, are, I tried to theme them with the character, so he has grasping gloves. Because the Long Arm of Justice often reaches beyond the limits of his visions, high shelves, down trains, etc., he wears padded gloves to protect his fingers. The Stretch Cycle is a recumbent bicycle with extra long ape-hanger handlebars. I started off being a chopper, but then I thought he's a B-lister, so he wouldn't have that cool a vehicle. So, and then the Justice Log, which is actually, it's just his diary where he writes down his crime-fighting exploits to analyze his performance.
Which you actually could sort of, that would have the aspect of, I've done this before, haven't I?
Oh. Yeah.
Or, what did I have for lunch?
Yeah, that too. But it's a way you can tap into it, you know, as an aspect, past performances. I take it he doesn't have a secret identity because of his freakishly long arms.
No, he pretends to. I mean, he says when he's not being a superhero, he only goes.
No amount of horn-rimmed glasses can hide the fact he's the long arm of justice.
It doesn't make any sense. He wouldn't see.
That's our guest player today.
Our super very special guest star.
Guest star, yes.
Well, let's not give me a
important
big
distinction.
Oh, we should tell you folks what this is about. This is our 50th episode.
Yay.
That's an amazing long run.
For us, yeah.
And, I mean, this is only like the episodes we've recorded and published. There's a slew more that we haven't edited. And a slew more we haven't ever recorded, which is a little sad, but c'est la vie.
Getting a peek at your forums, I am really excited to see what's coming, because
it's with me. Cool.
So now we go to the top of the hitting order. Calypso Khan, step forward.
Yes, Calypso Khan is, what can I say, I like his high concept. He's a carnival-themed disco-dancing masked Avenger, who is, of course, a slave to the beat. So any bait will be eaten, any beat will be beaten, I guess, and so on and so forth. His actual identity is his commonplace identity is one Sujan McAllen, a dweeby retail assistant. But, of course, he can't contain himself, and that wild sort of inner little Hispanic wonder can't really be contained, so that has to come out in some way. He's kind of like Superman in that aspect, except he doesn't have superpowers at all. He's just super at I guess being an extroverted disco dancer. His aspects are King of the Rumba Beat, of course, and fastest maracas in the West, and of course he has the secret identity, so he can, you know, pretend to be that
Sujan.
Yeah. Sujan, yes.
Yes, or the other way around. I just realized something. You have one extra left to get, and you're the fastest maracas in the West.
I have an... Oh, yes, that's true. But I felt like, I already have a stunt. I have the fastest maracas in the West, so he gets +2 when he uses them to distract. So I didn't want to make him too
that
useful.
Works. Yeah, that works. Actually, yeah. That's sort of like Captain America's shield. It doesn't get written down as an extra. It's an aspect.
Right.
So your maracas are actually an aspect, and therefore you have, if you have a stunt that gives you a +2 with them, which actually makes them better than an extra.
Right. Maybe I should change that. Maybe that's too good. I don't know. We'll see. Of course, his top approach is flashy. That's his thing. He's also quick and clever, and the rest is sort of so-so. Of course, he gets, because he's the king of the Rumble Beat, he gets plus two when he incites others with his dancing.
What do you say incite? Are you trying to create an advantage then, or?
Maybe I should say that. Yeah, maybe that's a better way to phrase it.
So you can say, when I try to create an advantage inciting others with my dancing.
Right. That's how this Fate Accelerated works, right?
Yeah. It's actually one of the benefits of this game, where you create a character, you look at it and say, well, he has no combat. It's just that he's not combat. His entire purpose in life is to create advantages for the rest of the team.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking he'd work in some dance moves.
Oh, that
kicks
too.
And stuff, he'd be a flasher. But, you know, yeah.
Maybe a couple of shots.
At some place, we're going to have to do a big equivalent of a Bollywood dance scene. Where somehow or another you get a crowd dancing with you.
Of course.
Oh, I know what you could have for an extra. Since you cannot guarantee that there's actually any music for you to dance to, you have the Calypso sound machine.
Hmm. Would that be like
it's an iPod? It's an iPod with external speakers.
I like that. Yeah, but other than that, other than the fantastic sound machine and the rest of his stunts, of course, he, because of his secret identity, he gets an extra plus two when he cleverly pretends that he's not at all Calypso Khan. And I wrote down some extras. I didn't have any to begin with. It didn't occur to me to come up with something sort of semi-useful until I read all of yours and was terribly inspired. So going with the kind of strange biker gang that we have going... I gave myself Esmeralda, a garish bright green freight moped for semi-quick crime response and handy transportation. And he also, of course, has El Lazo, a length of thin rope, which gives him a plus one to flashily catch or restrain while performing the lasso dance moves. Oh, and yeah, the music thing.
Yeah.
Should I also added catch, restrain, seduce?
depends on the victim, I guess.
One real quick question. Dweeby retail assistant. Is Dweeby what you are, or is Dweeby the place where you work?
Because
I can see it both ways. Welcome to Dweebies.
That is hilarious. I think it should be both.
Yeah, I mean, in Harbor City, we decided that the major coffee chain is called Ahab's.
I like it.
All right, next monkey.
Next would be... Thundersteel. Heavy metal, crime-fighting robot. A hero in the 80s and disappeared in the 90s. Recently uncovered by members of the Harbor City Irregulars who cleaned the grunge off him and sent him out to fight crime. And heavy metal, crime-fighting robot is his high concept. His trouble is the height of 80s super science.
I have transistors you can hold in the palm of your hand!
Yes, he has a 386 processor.
No, that actually would be too good for the 80s.
No, it wouldn't. That'd be the height of the 80s, yeah.
Cutting edge.
Yeah, the cutting edge. So he got multiple processors.
Yes, and he is built for justice. He's an amplified hero. And he's legal coding. That is an aspect.
Oh, he knows the law.
Yeah.
Circa 1980.
That's not that much of a change to me, so he's okay there. Done, because I'm a heavy metal crime-fighting robot, I get plus two when I must use force against a perpetrator. And for the next one, because I am built for justice, I'm equipped with many useful crime-fighting gadgets. That's where I'm looking to make it, like, universal gadget-type stunt that you haven't seen.
And I said, there's the accepted aspect of, I have a gadget for that, or I have a police gadget for that.
Yes, but then you have to pay a fate point to invoke the aspect, and I'm looking for a stunt that lets me do that without paying a fate point each time, which is...
Okay, but that usually is limited, though, so it's usually...
Yeah. Like I say, it's simple things like handcuffs or limited use, like an internal fax that I have to hook up to a landline.
I would just simply say, I would just hand wave at that point. You have handcuffs. That's considered like de facto you have handcuffs and you have the fax machine. So I actually would just hand wave that. If you're looking for something more like,
the most complex, I would think would be, you know, like grapple gun or net,
beanbag gun or something like that, or.
In Sati, you get like two of those per session.
That sounds about right then. Yeah, we'll go with that. So yeah. the cheap stuff, don't worry about. You know, you got that. It's stuff that actually can really affect the game, like, you know, beanbag gun, grappling hook, you know, door breaker.
Well, he is a door breaker.
Yeah. Yeah. So does he run on treads?
He has legs. He's just a big lurch-like heavy metal thing.
I just imagine him with a square head with the monovisor visor across it, and blue and white.
He has blue and red lights on his shoulders that, you know, flash.
And he has a police siren.
He's an amplified hero, so he blacks out music.
So, you know, the cheap stuff can be in your extras.
Yeah.
You know, you got many built-in gadgets. We'll do that in play. How's that? Because you can have it up to three. All right, so let's go down. And last but not least,
you're not going to try Inukitot.
Inukitot.
Yes, aka Akna Jones, aka Eskimo Girl.
Because no one can pronounce your actual name.
Inukitot. I have trouble myself. It's Inuit for harpoon. So I am the harpoon. She is an Inuit exchange student. So she is of Indian heritage. Her high concept is feminist punk rock extremist. Well, by Eskimo standards. In a nutshell, she was just too much of a handful for the tribe, so they sent her to Harbor City.
So she's from Greenland or?
No, Alaska.
No, Alaska isn't. Is Alaska Inuit?
They have some there.
Okay. Or she could be in the Yukon.
Well, I was thinking more like Alaska because we're going to treat Alaska like a foreign country.
Ooh.
So, like, what language do they speak in Alaska? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Trouble. Can't stand by while women are mistreated.
There's actually, yep, by accident, I actually have something in there for that in the adventure.
My aspects are harpoon virtuoso. Are you going to eat that? And full contact mosh pit fighter. Yeah, like the Calypso King, but not Calypso King. I am also flashy, but because I am an exchange student, I am clever, and I do have big bones, so I sometimes throw my weight around and I'm forceful. Four plus two. And a little bit careful, a little bit quick, and not sneaky at all. I haven't learned the whole stealthy thing yet. Hero plus a zero, because we're just starting. Our stunts are, because I'm an ace with a with a harpoon.
Inuktitut? Is that it?
Inuktitut? Yes. Harpoon. I get a plus two when I flashily create tactical advantages for the team. I imagine myself throwing harpoons and pinning people to the wall. Because I can eat about anything, I gain a plus two when I forcefully overcome an obstruction that I can sink my teeth into. Now, this last one we'll have to talk to the referee about. Because I can digest most forms of matter, I can recover from injuries by stopping and eating.
I saw that. What that lets you do is you can... But your stress boxes get cleared at the end of a scene anyway. What it lets you do is you can stop and just get rid of a mild by eating, and you can reduce a moderate consequence to a mild.
I'm totally cool with that.
Could we modify that? Could we modify that to be you have to stop and eat something raw or gross?
Well, most forms of matter that are not food also qualify as things I can eat.
Fair enough.
Let's see. For extras, I always have a quiver of harpoons stashed nearby, which is probably why I spend a lot of time drinking coffee at Ahab's. So thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah.
Kringmerk is my husky-themed motorcycle, so it might actually be a little bit furry in spots, you know, instead of tassels. Because, well, I probably don't carry it around as a student, but when the going gets tough, I have a titanium ice axe. For close-in work.
The most dangerous weapon around so far.
Does Inukitut have a theme song as well?
Something harsh and brash and old-school punk, and it changes from episode to episode.
Okay.
You know, I bet if you type into either Pandora or Google, Eskimo punk rock.
Some of us are not that brave.
You can always do the dead milkman punk rock girl, but that doesn't have any Eskimo overtones.
That's okay. And I do not define myself as an Eskimo. I define myself as a woman of intellect and cunning.
So, our opening scene, welcome to Harbor City, the gem of the Northwest, city of the future, and home to many superheroes, including the famous Raven, Sergeant Steel, and others. Now we're going to look at the others. And the camera flies on down and gets to the waterfront. And he sees wonderful looking, brand state-of-the-art warehouses mounted on piers. And then it gives this place that you see bits of wood hanging back and forth, swinging back and forth. The pier looks like it's been hit at least once by a cruise ship or something. And the building looks like it should have been condemned. This is the headquarters of the Harbor City Irregulars, a group of superheroes. And it flies around to the front, where you actually see the front's been repainted. Someone's actually has taken time to repaint the front of the building and put up there Harbor City Irregulars secret base. Someone's got a sense of humor.
I'm going to assume that's ACNA.
Oh, there's plenty of people here, you know, coming out. In our various games, we got some like 20 irregulars working the city. Today, only five of the irregulars are in there today. We have, of course, our four individuals who introduced themselves, and the youngest irregular, Sledgehammer. And his secret identity is, of course, Sledgehammer. Last name is Hamner. And of course, his weapons are sledgehammers. And it's his motorbike parked next to Acna's motorbike out there right now. His is one that actually has the holsters for sledgehammers on its side.
Can't be any strange than mine that has a quiver for harpoons.
That's true. What kind of bike is your Kring Mech?
It is a rough and rowdy and noisy sport bike for all-terrain travel.
Oh, so it's a rice burner?
With all-terrain tires.
It is not a hoity-toity expensive Harley, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, so he's got a Suzuki street bike, so he can't go off track, but he's always bothering you about, hey, let's go on a patrol together, okay?
She'll just, like, roll her eyes up in that whatever thing. It says,
he's 18 years old, so yeah, he's... Yeah.
I firmly believe that Akna is a college student and above such a person.
He wants to hammer that.
Yeah, that's probably my cue to go sit out on the pier.
Today, though, he's not doing that. Today, he's discovered that there's Wi-Fi out there. For some reason, someone's gone to great lengths to arrange the lobes of the city free Wi-Fi, such that it does not enter your property. And he's busy cobbling together a repeater station he's going to mount outside somewhere so that we can then get Wi-Fi inside the building.
Well, the reason some of us know what's going on is because Akna is also outside. But she's a little further away on the pier with a harpoon looking for lunch.
At best, you go find salmon around. I say this time of year, maybe not salmon, but you like squid?
Actually, I like anything.
That's true, too. Wherever you pull up, you can probably eat.
Yeah. Oh, look, a boot.
That does sort of mean that you are immune to poisons. That's sort of a tack-on effect.
There might be indigestion. Yeah. We haven't determined yet. As a general rule, one should not eat poisons, kids.
And inside you got like three or four couches that were taken from various people dumped on the street. You have a big screen TV. Now, when I say big screen TV, it's circa 2000s, which means it's not LED or LCD, or it's the box with the projectors onto the screen type big screen TV. And the warehouse itself is a bit, well, creaky. And as I mentioned in one of the forums, there are holes in the floor. Someone has put up yellow tape, caution tape around the worst of the holes. So the TV's on. Then I guess you're probably watching something important and riveting, you know. All of a sudden, there's a abrupt cut, special announcement, and they cut to It's kind of weird because this is the station that actually has the superhero for an announcer. His name is the Anchorman. His powers are that he is a camera. He can psionically tap into broadcasts and transmit full-colored, you know, stereo, if you had 3D TVs, broadcasts. And you just got to get used to the fact that every time he blinks, the screen goes black. He also has a camera, which he also can tap into and broadcast from. So sometimes you'll have the camera set up and you'll see him, then it'll switch to his point of view. And yeah, it gets kind of freaky sometimes. I always think he's out at the main pier, the Fisherman's Wharf, which is sort of like a Fisherman's Wharf, only it's the Harbor City version of it, you know, and he's standing there. Something amazing is happening. A report sighting on radar said there's an unknown aircraft heading this direction. Oh my goodness. There it is. It switches to his point of view, and you can see like a little silver saucer heading over the bay, heading over one of the islands out there, heading toward the city. So, Eskimo girl, you're outside. You hear this sound as it's out over the bay.
Well, run inside. Irregulars, assemble. Check this out.
I think someone should clear their throat at this point. The team leader, yeah.
Yes, team, irregulars, assemble. There's in front of the TV, look at this report. Come here, Eskimo girl. That?
It's not on the, it's out, right outside.
Well, is there a better view from outside?
Sledge looks up and says, hey, there, you know, we can go out the back door of this place, you know, and we should get a great view this way. So he starts running back to the warehouse until he gets about halfway and he vanishes to the sound of breaking wood.
Oh. Well, now we have a back door.
A sharp-eyed one, the Eskimo girl, sees a set of fingers hanging on to the edge of the hole. Help! Help!
Jesus.
Oh, we've got a floor exit now.
Yeah. You have several floor exits.
I'll reach down and fish him out. Jeezy.
Watch the floors. They're a little bit rotten. Of course, now you guys are in the middle of the warehouse.
Thundersteel starts stomping over there to help.
whoa, big fellow. I got this.
Uh-oh. No.
Reach out with your harpoon. Give him something to grab onto. Wait, no, don't get too close. Okay.
Let's see. Let's look at Thundersteel. I'm looking for something I can compel. Fortunately, I think if you're told to stay still, you probably will stay still. So, sorry.
Yeah.
We can't make this more interesting.
It's not interesting. It's annoying.
Yeah, you fish him out of the hole, and are you going to continue on through? Are you going to head for the edge? These warehouses are at an angle also. It makes it easier for docking and stuff like that. Basically, the inside angle, it faces toward the city. The outside angle faces out to the harbor.
Oh, the outside angle.
Oh, outside sure. angle. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's coming across the water, and that's also where the bikes are.
Let's go, regulars. Let's check this out.
You're now in the middle of the warehouse. I want you guys to make crossing the treacherous floor roll at this point.
You know what? I'd totally take a compel for a slave to the beat if the TV switches to like the morning guest band and it's a terribly catchy tune that Calypso.
Sure! Here you go, bang! There you go, you got a fate point.
So, yeah, he starts jiving and goes, hey, Justice, this is kind of catchy. Perfect for you, eh? See what I did there? Catchy?
Now's not the time for frivolous theme songs, Calypso. We must see this new threat to the city. Come, stop that dancing.
So anyway,
I can dance. I can move.
So everyone, make a roll. Choose your approach. You can usually try to cross the floor.
Well, I think the compel means I'm not only not focusing on the floor, I make a mistake, right?
Yeah, because I was just going to make this a plus two, but because you're dancing, it's a little bit more difficult to get across. So you have a higher target number. Yeah, you have a higher target number to hit.
Okay. So what's a good approach? Is it
where you think is appropriate for your actions?
I guess I'd go with quick.
That's a plus four.
Thundersteel stomps along. He's not real careful because he's not very very careful. He's a plus one.
What's he using? He's using his what?
Careful.
Careful. Ah. He's not careful. Yeah, plus one. Yeah. How waterproof are you?
I'm sure he's pretty waterproof. He lasted however many years he was.
They basically found you in a used turret.
I would imagine you'd have to at least be waterproof to the point where you're not a hazard to the team.
And you could withstand in the northwest with all the rain and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So there's two.
I'm okay. going to quickly try to cross the warehouse, but as I'm running, I'm going to reach out and try and grab Calypso by the arm and drag his dancing fool self out the door.
Oh, wow. So he rolled a 4 so far, and I guess Akna rolled a...
Akna actually has a 2 because she is jumping over the hole, hitting the couch, vaulting over it, and maybe doing a tumble and coming up and heading towards the door. Hmm. So she's all about flashy. And also, she wanted to be first.
Yeah, that ties. You do succeed at a minor cost. What would the minor cost be?
I flip over the couch and make an obstacle for everyone else.
There you go.
See, one of us did this well.
Well, Calypso Khan's actually got a 4, so he's dancing around the holes like, you know, like no one's business until someone grabs him from the back.
And Thundersteel steps on, crushes the couch.
And goes to the floor.
Sure.
You can make a quick roll, see if you grab the edge of the floor before you go through. Or you just simply just go step, stomp, and wee.
I think it's more fun. He'll goes through the floor and
you hear a splash.
Bottom of the harbor there, and has to clomp to the side and make his way up.
Because of the tide, there actually are steps cut into the seawall that you can actually find. He climbed back up to the surface, so it's not a problem.
Probably not the first time either.
No, but when he comes up, he's got squid attached to him in various places. And a starfish, for some reason, is on top of his head. It always is, a starfish. The rest of you, though, let's see, long arm rolled a what?
I rolled a minus.
That's minus one? And what approach were you using?
I was quick, which was plus 2, so I wound up with 1.
Let's see, how's that go? You missed him. He dances out of the way. And I'll give you the same offer. You can try to make a quick roll to grab the edge of the hole you just stepped through.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I will try a quick roll. Ooh, I got even.
Even. That's good enough. You grab a hole, you know, your toes are touching the water, but only you would be in that position where your toes are touching the water. You can pull yourself up at that point and make your way out to the pier, and you can see now much better. At least 3 of you can see much better. The flying saucer, it's coming in. You hear this ominous sound, and you can see because the bottom of it's spinning like a top. It looks a bit like, you ever seen the old TV show UFO?
Yeah.
Sort of like that, only the top is not spinning, just the bottom. But it has that sound, that sound from UFO.
Where's Sledge in all of this?
Oh, yeah. Did he even pull him up? No, he's still hanging from the hole.
God. I thought it pulled him out, but I didn't roll for it.
Yeah. guys, he looks over at Long Arm. Hey, Arm, can you give me a hand?
Wonder the situation, fellows. I will rescue our comrade.
Hey, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm just going to say, you reach over, and because you have the long arm of the law, it's easy for you to grab him by the scruff of the neck and pull him out.
Because he's not in his armor, so he's light. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. He's light. If he's soaking wet, he'd probably weigh 90 pounds. And you guys get out there, and it's... Yeah, you see the flying saucer. It's moving in. It's heading actually for Fisherman's Wharf. If you get to the edge of the pier, you actually have a good view of the wharf. You can see it making a landing on the wharf. Of course, all the information you would get, you would know what's going on there. It's back in there about the TV, but that's okay. You see what's happening.
Sometimes you see it with your own eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you don't believe it, well special effects get in the way.
You can't believe everything you see on TV.
In fact, I'm going to say that you're actually only like 2 piers away from the Fisherman's Wharf. So you're actually in a nice little Tony part of town.
If it wasn't for the decay.
Yeah. You can see the saucer land. The top sort of clamshells open, you know, the slides open, you know, that, like, that little dome that, like, this opens like a clamshell and slides into the body. And you see on there, standing there, several women, looks like they're wearing nuns' habits. But you can see sparkles of light from, well, it looks like they have silver lamé trim where normally it would just be white cloth. There's a silver lamé, and then one steps forward, throws the hood back, and you see green skin and looks like tendrils for hair.
What's that? Oh my god, I think it's...
Space nuns!
I think it's space nuns!
What?
Madre Dios, blasphemy!
We got our intro to the space nuns, so I'll gather everyone heads back inside to see what's going on. There's an interview going on with the space nuns, you know.
You know, just like
now,
that.
Oh, yeah, the anchor man.
Now we have joining us the space
nuns. Yes.
Guys, this doesn't smell right.
No, that's just thunder feel.
That's bad.
It's the fish. Clean them off.
Oh, Acna casually picks off a squid, says, are you going to eat this?
I have no requirements for sustenance.
Cool. So yeah, we'll have some calamari while we're watching.
They're stepping down from the saucer. It's actually poised perfectly on its pointed the pointed bottom of the saucer, and the little ramp comes down. They're stepping down. I think everyone knows this. One, those are form fitting outfits they're wearing for habits. And they have something extra in the mammary glands. That is an extra breast, which you normally could not tell in a habit, but these habits show it off. And you can tell the Anchorman's using his eyes because they keep looking down.
You know why? That's one of the reasons why he's so popular with the guys. He has priority vision.
Best way to describe.
Uh oh. This is an for our feminist, right?
Oh yes.
Yes. I'm grinding my teeth here because you know, it's like it's alien, but it's still exploitive. So will you look at that? Dressed like a three-titted whore.
No, dressed like a three-titted nun. There's a difference.
Yeah, that's making a scrape. Was those blue aliens from Mass Effect the ones with they had like tendrils for hair?
Sorry.
Right, yes.
Sorry?
Sorry, yes. But it doesn't matter what they're called. You mean them, right? Yeah. The blue aliens with the tentacle heads.
Yeah, only these tentacles are a little bit more lively. They're actually moving, and they're green. And
more Medusa type.
Not Medusa. Okay, Medusa, if she had went over her snakes and pulled them back.
Yeah.
In a bun.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily a bun, but they are moving about. And the woman is saying forth, I am the Mother Superior of the Space Nuns of the Galactic Overseer. We are here to deliver the word of the Great Overseer to your benighted people.
So they're missionaries?
I will not make the joke.
Fair enough. This is just going downhill. And here I thought it was going to be a good day.
I think this is where Thundersteel gets a shot of where their craft is parked. And he goes, they are parked in a no parking zone. And starts heading off to go correct that situation.
Oh, dear. That's going to be interesting. Yes, it will be interesting. So you see him hanging for the door, and he remembers to open the door first. Are you going to continue watching the TV, or are you going to go after Thundersteel?
I think we should go after Thundersteel. I don't know if that's in our jurisdiction, Thundersteel. Isn't that ocean waters?
Port Authority. I mean, it is a dock, and they are docking their vehicle.
Thundersteel just goes, I am the law.
That was almost one of his aspects.
I'm going with Thundersteel because I want to check these out in person, if you know what I mean.
Right, yes, that sounds good. Excellent. Important.
Well, I can take one person on my bike.
I can take more. I have a flatbed.
Speed is an option, so I will leave the stretch cycle at home and I'll jump in Calypso Khan's flatbed.
He's like, I can, yeah, and Sledge goes, I can go. And all of a sudden he stops because he reaches down, pulls out his cell phone. Just a second. Hello? Huh? What? No, I wasn't. Yes, mother. I'll be home. Sorry, guys. I have to go home.
Protect the home front.
Yeah, mom said she wants to make sure I don't get in trouble with the ladies.
Are you sure she didn't think that the lady's in trouble?
Something like that. So he dejectedly waves goodbye and roars off, heading for home. Anyway, so yeah, you hang down to the pier, you know, and there's a crowd now forming in front of you. It's a big crowd, and police are showing up. And, the Harvest City PD, you guys are unregistered. One steps up. All right. What are you doing here, Thundersteel? You know you have no jurisdiction here anymore.
Told you so.
That craft is illegally parked.
It's docked. He's got a special dispensation from the mayor. So yeah, back off and you don't, you know, don't get in trouble here, you know?
According to city ordinance 523/72, the mayor cannot provide special dispensation without approval from the city council.
Oh, yeah, quoting regulations at me, eh? Pulls out his iPhone. Well, regulation 25628/52B of the recently approved special powers for the mayor says he can.
I have no record of that.
Now look, Sergeant. Was it Sergeant Lieutenant?
No, Sergeant. O'Reilly.
Sergeant O'Reilly. Do we really want to get into a regulation for here? I mean, isn't the bigger picture the safety of the city? And you know we have the city's best interests in heart. We just want to investigate a little and, you know, make sure that the law is upheld.
You want to cause trouble and get your hands on I'm thankful I'm a Catholic. on those aliens. Well, you know, yeah, the mayor wants to talk with them too. So, you know, there's a bunch of things going on. And as you can see that a couple SUVs are pulling up, the black ones. They're going to be doing a presentation at City Hall. So if you want to investigate them there, you can, you know, they'll be in about 2 hours. They're going to be talking to the mayor. And then
2 hours, man. By then it may be too late. We need to get to those women now.
The only ones who want to get a hold of those women. You're expecting the CIA and the FBI, the NSA, and God knows who else, whatever alphabet soup organization will be coming here to get to talk to them. But they're here now and they're ours, and we're going to talk to them first. So, you know, move along.
What do you say, Justice? Should we force the issue?
He is a servant of the law. We don't want to directly.
You can see cops putting out the police tape around the saucers just sitting there on the edge of the dock.
We could dance around them or something.
Ooh, actually, yeah, we could. If we can start a dance party to get the crowd dancing, that would distract.
Mm-hmm. Did someone say dance party? Let's welcome these aliens.
You can see.
And then we can sneak around it.
Yeah, there's six of them, and best you can tell, they're like 6 foot tall, statuesque. They walk identically. And we were talking about walking identically. Kaboom, 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 kaboom. You know, a lot of folks are testing their vowels today.
Unless told to do otherwise, Calypso will begin to he'll fish out his sound system and put on some inappropriate track and then begin to incite the crowd and the police to draw attention.
Oh yes, this is where I'm going to throw a fate point at Calypso. Yes, Calypso, I'm going to throw King of the Rumba beat, because as you realize as they're walking, there's a beat to their hip movements. And you know which song to play for that beat.
When I shake my hips, I go cheek, cheeky, boom, cheek, cheeky, boom, boom.
Something like that, yeah.
Yes. All right.
That's brilliant.
I say this is a point in time that, yeah, so you got another fate point, and time to roll, you know. I'm the king of the rumba beat.
He'll rip his maracas out of his pants and strike an impressive pose while the music starts to beat and, you know, stamp the ground for attention. And then, you know, he'll start doing his thing, dancing in and around and between the police officers and inciting people.
Instead of saying people, inciting people to dance would probably be more appropriate.
Yes, I was getting to, talking to you about what kind of an aspect I wanted to put on the scene. I think it should be a dancing crowd or something.
It's Bollywood time.
That's like me.
Everyone shake.
Right. It's the Cuban Pete scene from The Mask.
So this is gonna be a pose, though.
Sure.
You, right now you got a +5 before you even roll.
+4 then.
Is it +4? Oh, you did a bad roll.
Well, -1.
Yeah. This is where they roll.
Not atrocious.
Oh, and the crowd rolls a 5. You burn a fate point, you can beat them.
Yeah, I've accrued a bit of fate, haven't I?
Yes. just a bit.
Ah, but I have the fastest maracas in the West, so I'm going to invoke that and get people's attention.
All right.
If I do that, I also get +2. Well, I'm using flashy, so never mind.
Yeah, you only use one stun at a time, but yes. But still, that gets you to a +1. So yeah, you can create the advantage of the Bollywood dance scene.
Yes.
I am going to regret asking this. Are the irregulars immune to the powers of the Calypso King?
Roll!
I guess the answer to that is no.
This is why he's signing up to you going, "Si, senorita, I know you like the cheek cheeky boom cheek."
You can hear the grinding of teeth.
Let's see.
Okay.
You know what? They have nothing to resist this either, so I'm going to make a roll for the fembots. For the nuns, I mean.
We could turn this into a dance party. But through sheer force of will, I'm just going to resist the sultry beat. Or at least attempt to.
What's their approach? I've got to give them approaches. Great.
I believe curvy +2. No, actually +3. Nope. We can't have this.
Oh, I thought you rolled +3 there, Todd.
No, I...
No. I'm having my own troubles. I got a mechanical question. Can I use a fate point to tag a trouble?
Sure. It's an aspect. You can invoke a trouble.
Well, I still need to see what happens to the fembots to see if I can do this.
They're resisting with their clever. They rolled a 5. So they've tied with Calypso.
Oh, wait. If I got 4 and invoked an aspect, I have 6, right?
Oh, you're right. So you still beat them. Unless the GM's willing to tap something. But the trouble is they really have nothing to resist that with.
Robots? Fembots?
Minions of the Galactic Overlord?
Or maybe it's more fun if they can't resist?
Yeah, you start seeing their hips start moving more to the beat, and now they sink in with the beat, and they're starting to, there's 6 of them, so now they're dancing in ensemble, and somehow or another, you end up in the middle of them. They're dancing counterpoint to your moves. And then you get a hold of the Mother Superior and you start doing those fancy flamenco dance, couple dances where everyone's standing back, you know, start going.
Anka catches herself clapping along. It just stops at one point. It just goes, "What am I doing?"
But you do learn something from dancing with that fembot. When you try to do the dip, she weighs 500 pounds.
Oh! Forceful is not my strong suit.
The only reason why you don't go over because seems to be incredibly strong and she's able to support herself even though she's arched over and her tendrils are touching the ground.
She makes you look good.
But unfortunately, all dances must come to an end, and there's a great hurrah, and you sort of stop, and then you feel the long arm of the law, not your guy, clamp down your shoulder.
The other long
arm. All right, enough of this foolishness.
Was there anything... Hold on. Was there anything that our fearless leader wanted to do while this dance thing was going on?
The team was supposed to... sneak past the police during the distraction to get at the...
Supposed to. You haven't made your roll yet, have you? Oh. Resist dancing.
Oh, to resist dancing. Well, can I?
Your con may have actually created a trap for him.
Okay. So...
All right, guys.
Can I...
Well, you need to be careful about it.
Yes, I can be careful, but I'm wondering if I can, because I'm driven to lead my team to the next level, can I say, forcefully direct the team, don't fall for the music. I want to create an aspect of immune to the beat on my team.
There you go. Cool. You are going against his six.
Oh, well, and I have a four, so I have a plus two.
Yeah. Hey, it can happen. You can roll all fours.
You know what? I'm going to do it because, by gosh, I'm a hero. I am a hero, and this is what we do. We stretch ourselves to the limit and overcome adversity. Or not. So is it plus two, and I went even so...
You're cha-cha-chaing with the rest of them.
So, team, we must dance!
And you see these folks, you see
I'm
the crowd
being moving, arms throwing about, slapping people in the face, trying to... I don't have a sense of rhythm.
There's a sequence where everyone puts their hands up, and you can see this in the long shot. There's this crowd, and then in the back, there's these pair arms stretching way up in the air. But unfortunately, like I said, everything comes to an end basically because the track comes to the end, and that's when it sort of stops, and the nuns... And they all go, you dance divinely. Pan across the cheek and so forth. Maybe later we can do something else. And then they off walk off, hanging from the SUVs.
I think that's not something Calypso is used to.
Yeah. So, he's just sort of like, yeah. Ah?
Snap. It's only after they've gone that he goes, why, yes, Calypso is old.
So you guys going to try to head to the presentation?
Well, did the saucer close back up after the...
No, it's still sitting there. It's still sitting behind police tape and a couple, some policemen standing guard. They're standing guard, you know, no, you can't approach. No. I mean, the only way you could probably approach it if you were to go underneath the wharf and climb up the back side.
Well, see, the catch is the way it's designed, if you don't go up the ramp, it's really hard to get to.
You hear Thundersteel's dot matrix printer printing, and he shows Longarm the citation that he's created for their illegal parking and goes, should I interview this, sir?
I think, traditionally, don't you stick it on the window?
Yes, sir.
Okay, oh, yeah. We'll go with you.
Oh, it's dot matrix, and it has the perfs can be pulled off.
Yes, the tractor fed, yes.
And the paper's soaked.
Well, no. That's in the waterproof compartment. That's...
Okay. Here we go.
The citation must be given, and so we're gonna bluster past the... Just we'll go with you. You need to deliver the citation to the vehicle.
Calypso, you people, clap you on the back of the shoulder. You're getting clapped on the shoulder, hands shook, great dance. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Which means you're more or less impeded from getting anywhere close to the sauce at this point. Occasional selfies.
Akma sees what's going on with Thundersteel and sidles over to one of the police officers. She says, wow, wasn't that the greatest dance that you have ever seen? Just look at those girls heading towards the SUV. I'm in awe of their curvaceous appeal. What do you think? And just sit there and just blather away and trying to distract this officer. So that way our heroes can actually deliver that piece of paper.
Oh, wow. So she's doing something she's not used to doing. Playing the airhead.
Yeah, it is kind of leaving a bad taste.
Her feminism.
I guess you're being clever about this, right?
Yeah. I don't think I could do anything flashy enough about it.
And this roll and...
Oh, jeez Louise, the dice are hating me.
Yeah, ma'am, those are pretty nice shapely curves, but sorry.
She's dressed in the Eskimo coat, so there's no curves at all.
No, it's not. No, remember, she's a punk. She's a punk rocker, so she's dressed, Eskimo punk.
She is also suggesting he should look at someone else, so...
Yep. Nah, he rolled a five.
Just what we need, and an honest and diligent cop. Pig.
But yeah, you look at it, it's the saucer is, it looks like it's made out of metal and plastic or something, maybe like plastic, not quite sure, and it's just poised. You realize it's not, it hasn't stopped spinning. It's still spinning. The bomb's still spinning, which is probably why it's standing up.
Well, Thundersteel will go around the tape if that means he walks into the harbor or whatever.
Well, I mean, if you're going to try to walk through the tape, you know, walk straight up to it, the cops will just stand, you know, step forward and say, whoa, hold there, Thundersteel.
No, I said around the tape, down into the harbor, into the water, around, climb up.
The ladder, the conveniently placed ladder.
I imagine he's got one metallic arm held up high holding the piece of paper as he goes through the water.
And why don't you be sneaky at this point? See if you can sneak up on it.
Sure. That would be funny.
So
minus one.
Oh. Let's see if they notice. I think it's the flashing lights that give you away.
So, is there anything like street lamps or anything, eaves overhanging or something?
Oh yeah, there's plenty of this. This is done all kitschy up. It's antique look lamps from the 1930s when this wharf was a working wharf at that point, and never did have lamps like that. So yeah, it's that one of those quaint, you know, this is what it looked like in the 1930s, when in fact it looked something completely different in 1930s. In 1930s, there'd be piles of dead fish sitting here.
Plain fool. What I would like to do is quickly, before the police can react. Well,
they are distracted right now with him walking up.
So I would like to... Oh, go.
No, I'm just going to say, and there was all the dancing and stuff. That was a distraction, right?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. The cops were dancing.
Yeah, I was dancing with the same. I would like to jump up, stretch out, jump as far as I can, reach, grab a lamppost or something, swing over the policeman's head, and gracefully land at the door or the ramp to the spacecraft, the saucer.
Sure, that sounds like that's going to be a quick.
So I have a plus, so that's a total of three.
Three, okay. That's enough. Yes, you swing overhead. At a minor cost, of course. You mean you should succeed with a minor cost. The minor cost is that, the cops see you. they'll just see Thundersteel climbing up the back there. So now the question is, do we go after the long arm of justice, who's kind of they kind of like you because of that? Or Thundersteel, and they sort of like him too because he's sort of like the low rent RoboCop.
We're watching his cartoon.
You're at the ramp, and Thundersteel's clambering onto the deck, and there's cops going under the line heading for you, which means there's now no one at the line. Hint, hint, hint.
Quick team.
I know it's a big hairy hint, but I just can't see Akna trying to schmooze and become part of the line.
But the thing is, the cop you were talking to is he's turned around and he's going after, it looks like he's going after Longarm.
The defense basically is the scene. You have an open shot.
Yeah, you have open shot. There's one cop, just one cop now keeping the crowd back.
Oh, okay. So you're asking for the punk rock girl who stomps everywhere to be sneaky, huh?
Or quick.
Yeah. Quick is not as bad. We'll make a quick dash for it. I'm going to so regret this. Oh my goodness, I actually have a positive result.
Got four, and that definitely beats. That's a good, you definitely overcome. Another one of those overcomes. So, you make it through, and you're staying there behind the cops looking at the saucer. Up close, it looks,
cheap and shabby?
No, but you don't expect to see rivets on a spacecraft.
Yeah, this is confirming this ain't of extraterrestrial origin. This is another supervillain trying to pull the wool over our eyes. I will try to sneak up that ramp, keep low as possible, and get down inside so I can get the real scoop on this.
I'd say that's a sneaky roll.
I know.
Meanwhile, Thundersteel, the cops are staying around you. They're busy trying to explain to you how you're not supposed to be here, Thundersteel. Could you please leave this area so we don't have to arrest you again?
Can I want to help her by
sneaking. Oh, you want to create an advantage for her?
Yes. So I will forcefully turn up my speakers.
Oh, speakers, yes.
Yeah, and I will and he's starts just spouting out codes and regulations at high volume to distract and confuse them.
There you go.
It is prohibited to walk your dog on the docks.
And I guess you're using your – so you actually get that hero plus one for that one. So, yeah, you can add that into your – so you're being forceful, I guess?
Yes.
So
that gives me – I'm at minus plus two. If I get the hero at plus three.
All right. See what the cops roll. The cops roll five again.
Jeez, these aren't minion cops. What the hell are they? These are the best cops.
Well, the cops, let's be honest, the cops in Harbor City are actually kind of competent.
I guess they'd have to be with the incompetent,
No. There was a major firing done by Mayor Pennywise and most of the police force, and he hired up new ones. So he actually hired, made sure he got the best of the best. These are actually all competent, people, this is one of the few cities that has a super SWAT team. Not made of supers. It's regular guys whose job is to deal with supers. Don't worry. You'll never see them. Is there anything you can tap here? Sure. Oh, yeah. You can tap your high concept.
Amplified hero. I can, because I'm blasting them.
Wait. You still got a free tab. You know, even though the dancing's over, you still got a free tap on the dancing.
All right.
Scene aspect.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Well, the crowd's still energized and dancing.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The crowd's still there.
Chaos of the crowd going on still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. And poor Clip's still trying to make his way through the crowd. Yeah, so you can tap the Bollywood dance scene, and you still, if you want to create an event, you get a boost. So what you may want to do is consider, I hate to say it, spend a fate point and tap your amplified so you beat them. It won't be a spin, so you'll just create an aspect of distracted by the blaring sound of thundersteel that Eskimo girl can tap.
All right, let's go ahead. We'll do that.
So yes, you got, there's an aspect, thundersteel, thunder speaks.
Anybody else going to help the poor Eskimo girl? Because I need all the help I can get.
I will give her a hand.
Literally? No.
Yeah. Well, I can use my long arm to push or pull or whatever she needs.
I just need you to wave your arms in the air. That might help.
No. Okay.
Maybe you should go and try to rescue Thundersteel.
Well, he's on the other side of the tape as well. So yeah, you could do that. You can reach over and try to pull them away or something like that, or
easily tap them on the other shoulder so they look the other way.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what I'm gonna do. Yes.
All right. Yes. I'd say that's gonna be sneaky though.
That's okay. I've got a sneaky of one.
Wouldn't it be clever?
Yeah, let's go with clever. I'll default. It's funner that way if it's clever. So you got a plus two. What'd you roll?
Even.
The couch rolled a one.
Oh.
You created the advantage of...
Who's that?
Who's that? There you go.
Okay. Well, I guess that's about the best I'm going to do here, so we'll risk fate and see what happens. You've got to be kidding me. Okay, yeah.
Well, you can tap one off for a reroll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Tap one for a reroll.
This is so very appropriate, though.
Oh, yes.
Let me roll for the cops real quick.
Yeah. We're going to reroll that.
Oh, they only have a plus three.
Okay. I actually have a four by tapping the second freebie. That takes my plus zero with the plus two on the roll to a total of four. So we actually... I'm good at this. Really, I am.
Yes.
Sneak up the ramp and drop down inside.
Yes.
Eskimo ninja.
You go inside. Well, it turns out you actually can't drop down inside. It's more like a platform. When you get on top, you realize there is no inside unless the clamshells close. It's, you know, and you can feel the floor vibrating underneath, and you're just like, what the hey? If you look around, you'll find like a little access panel. You lift it up and you look inside. There's a series of V12 engines running underneath the floor.
Aha!
You're wondering where the exhaust is going, though, because, you know, but it, you know, then you realize it's probably going through a bunch of filters that the filter the exhaust. There's like five V12s, Hemi engines.
Just another sham. Well, you know what? This sounds like a job for pulling some spark plug wires.
You know, you don't have to roll for that. You just reach inside and start pulling at random. And when the engine starts missing, and it starts getting out of sync with the other engines because they're not, and all of a sudden you need to get off that saucer.
Oh, Weeble's wobble.
So make a quick roll.
Well, actually, when we clear out of that hatch, I'm going to grab one of my harpoons, mm-hmm. and we're going to throw that into a building and swing away from the weebling and wobbling, probably very obvious spaceship.
You know, the nearest building is like 100 feet away.
100 feet away? This is Fisherman's Wharf. I'm surprised they had a place to park. The place.
There are buildings, but they're all like vendors, you know, hot dogs, popcorn.
Well, plan B then. We'll make a dive for the ocean. At least that's softer than going high velocity into the pavement or the crown.
You got the wooden floor. Actually, it's not wood. It's that plastic wood.
Not too far from cement.
Yeah. So make a quick roll.
Keep using that word quick. I hate that. Okay. That is a total of plus one.
Well, that didn't quite. This is an overcome. So, yeah, you didn't quite make it unless you want to spend a fate point and give yourself a three.
Nah, we'll take the bucking bronc consequence of this.
Well, okay, you had a choice. You can fail and take some stress, or you can succeed at a major serious cost, which would almost always be probably a moderate consequence.
Well, it seems like stress is the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
just get thrown clear, maybe hit the crowd, lose my dignity.
Yeah, so just tap your two – so you can just tap your two stress box then.
Okay. Woohoo! As I go sailing through the air, it's a fake!
So now everyone else has got to make some sort of roll to get the heck away from it because it's basically doing the – it's about, 20 feet across, and it's now doing the top of doom movement. You know, going round and around. And
next
around.
Time to think through what I'm doing.
It's off balance right now.
Sounds like this is a job for our amplified hero to warn the crowd.
Or push it off the dock, off the pier.
Oh, that works too.
Yeah, I think actually the other one actually has super strength. Or at least really strong.
Or not awful strength, yeah.
You mean normal?
Yes, if this thing looks like it's going to harm the innocent civilians, he will step forward and shove it into the water.
Don't forget to attach the ticket while you're there.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The same water that Eskimo girl just jumped into.
No, it's the other side.
You're right. Yeah, you didn't succeed in jumping in the water. You got tossed onto the wharf. Yeah, so she's standing up and going, ouch.
So I forcefully shove it with a plus five.
Oh, wow. All right, it gets to resist, and we see what it rolls. Oi, chi man. It's heavier than it looks. It rolled an eight.
We're the D-class, obviously.
Yeah.
Sorry.
In fact, let's see. This was an attack. Failure attack. It had no effect. You do see a lot of sparks as you try pushing it.
Well, actually, if that's an attack, though, I would get my stunt when I use force against...
All right.
So that'd give me to seven.
Seven.
And this is being heroic, right?
Yeah.
So at least tie. So maybe I'm the only one who'll get hurt by it.
Yeah, you tap your heroic. Yes, that's
I mean, eight. I tie.
Eight. You tie it. Yes, and on a tie. Oh, okay. It doesn't harm the target. Basically, but you get a boost. So now you got a free plus two because right now you're pushing against it, and there's sparks flying as it's spinning around as you're trying to push it off the dock. Of course, its gyroscopic forces are keeping you from doing so, but it's not. It's no longer toppling over because you've sort of stabilized it, but it's definitely hard work, and there's just sparks everywhere as your hands are up against it, pushing.
And did the damage that Eskimo Girl did to it, Can that be an aspect that I could tag, maybe?
She didn't get... what did you roll for that again? Do you remember?
You gave me sabotage.
I gave you sabotage, yeah. So no,
or you, you did compel sloppy sabotage. One of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, so the unfortunate no aspect there. But you got a boost. You got a boost. So you can go to a second round of trying to push the thing off.
I'm not going to get much better than that.
Oh, see how badly or how good I roll. Ah, I rolled a 7 this time.
If I have the same adders, then I'd be at a 7, yeah. But I'd get the boost this time, right?
Yes.
So then I'd be at 9.
Ah. And with the resounding screaming of metal, it topples off the edge of the pier and impacts in the water and then explodes. And everyone on the edge of the wharf gets showered from the water and bits of metal falling from the sky.
I am going to heroically jump over Eskimo Girl to protect her from falling bits of shrapnel.
Roll for it.
Okay, what would that approach be?
Quick, I mean.
Sure, I'll be quick. I'm going to quickly... So that's a 1. Or, no, it's not.
You shove her in the way.
It's a 0.
You try to do it, and then basically a large gout of water comes down and smarts you to the surface of the dock, of the pier. And a pair of hands flop next to her as she's standing up in the downpour.
Slap her in the cheek.
Oh, the wrong cheek, too.
Yes.
Do not punch out your teammates. Do not punch out your teammates.
Do not punch out your team leader.
Billy, keep your hands to yourself. That UFO is a sham. It's a Hollywood prop. The mayor's in trouble.
Well,
we're nowhere near Hollywood.
Thunder Skills tips up and goes, they are now no longer illegally docked.
Yeah, and your hands are, and Thunder Steel's hands are nice and shiny right now. At least the palms are.
Come on, team, we've got a mayor to rescue.
Da da da! And this is where we do the bet swirl. Da 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 da! And you somehow you're able to pluck Calypso out of the crowd. Someone with long arms able to pluck him out of the crowd.
I'm thinking some of them got soaked, so yeah. Soaked too, and then, you know, it disperses.
The party's over when someone brings out the water hose.
Yes.
But
yeah,
poor Calypso has soggy ruffles.
Yes, she has to ring on the way, ring out.
Yeah. As you pull up to Fillmore Square, which is what fronts the there's like a little this is built the city hall, so like in Portland, how's that? There's a city square basically, the city hall, and you can see people milling about, and there's the city hall is actually built with a podium for speaking, so it's got built-in podium with the marble bastulade and so forth, very Georgian looking.
Do you mean balustrade?
Balustrade, thank you.
Yeah. Purdy.
It's purdy looking.
It probably costs the taxpayers of the fair city a lot of money.
Well, considering that, that's actually brand new, because the last one was blasted off by a tank.
Any statues of prominent superheroes?
Actually, there is one now. It's of Gecko Man. He's a human gecko hybrid. Stands 4 foot tall. He has a... he's not entirely fully gecko. He has a chameleon tongue. You see chameleons grabs insects with their shooting tongue.
Right.
His is incredibly long. He uses a swing from building to building in town when he's in town.
Since this is a statue, I imagine it's something he did in the past. Now, is he retired?
No, he's pretty much written off coming to Harbor City anymore. No, his base operations is Miami, Florida.
Oh, I was just wondering if he was retired and selling insurance.
Everyone makes that joke.
All right, so what's going on in the square and at City Hall?
It looks like that 2 hours has been cut down to like now. Mayor Pennywise is up there, and he's a Mary Pennywise used to be the butler for the multi-billionaire Bruce Dwayne. anyway, yes, he's up there speaking, talking about how this is a great day. You know, someone has obviously hasn't told him about the spaceship being destroyed yet. You know, and then he's been talking with these delightful space nuns from the galaxy. Another survey of extrasolar visitors to our fair planet. This is not the first time aliens have arrived in Harbor City.
Oh, some of them are even citizens.
Yeah.
Some of them are real aliens.
I'm pretty sure we can't drive up to the podium on a motorcycle.
there's a crowd. The press is there. Yeah, and then nuns step forward, and they start talking about how they're here to be the heralds of the great galactic overseer, who is planning to come to your benighted world to lift you up to the galactic standard, welcome you into the galactic community. You know, and they use galactic a lot.
So we're just getting up. We're at the very back of the crowd, so I'm going to start, you know, using my arms to try and part the crowd running forward, all the while yelling, saying, Mayor, your life is in danger. Mayor, they're Hollywood props. and trying to push the crowd apart to make a path for
us. Ooh, yes, you're going against the mob.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it sounds like I'm being forceful.
Yeah, and the mob gets to resist. They roll a plus one.
And they rolled a plus one.
Ah, so you're trying to overcome the mob. So you tie, and when you tie with them, when you tie and overcome, you can succeed at a minor cost. It could be like a mild consequence.
Okay, like I sprained my wrist?
No, that would be a moderate consequence. Oh. Yeah, a mild consequence would be he's got his long arms.
Coffee on you, or?
Oh, it's the mob. I can think of this. Someone grabs your right arm, someone grabs your left arm, but they're not the same person. And they start going the opposite directions.
Ow!
Well, it's not ow yet. They haven't actually got to the point where you actually go ow yet.
Oh.
But they're turning you into a barricade now. So you take the mild consequence of someone's got a hold of me.
Okay.
That's a song if I ever, song cue if I ever heard one.
No, I don't need a think song.
So you were making progress through the crowd until someone grabbed, till someone got a hold of Long Arm, and now he's actually providing a pretty efficient barricade for any further progress with the crowd.
Damn it all. Thundersteel, shout at them, say that she is not a real nun.
He will turn up his speakers, blast. These are not aliens. This is a sham.
Oh, okay. What kind of approach are you taking on this?
Forceful is his way.
All right, so yeah, you're just going to be blunt and...
He used to be on the force.
He never was really deputized.
So it's like, you don't deputize your police car.
That's forceful, that's five.
And that's five from the mayor as well. He's ignoring you. For some reason, not resisting, but not believing you.
Ah.
He's doing something unusual for him, for himself. He's smiling.
He's mesmerized by memories.
Could be.
If he pulls his head out of his pants, he can see the situation.
You do get the attention of the local PD. Thundersteel! Long Arm, you...
Those nuns are impersonating aliens.
They're Hollywood cops.
Violation.
And how do you know that? Have you examined them? He looks up going, examine them. Which should probably get a certain person gritting your teeth again.
Actually, enough of this bullshit. I'm just going to bulldoze through the crowd and make my way to the mayor. I can thrive in this environment.
Oh, yeah, it's a mosh pit. Yeah. Well, it's not quite a mosh pit yet. To get a mosh pit, someone has to get the start stirring the pot.
And your point?
So are you being forceful at this point, or?
I am forcefully bobbing and juking and jiving and making my way through the crowd. And, well, you know, if a head gets butted along the way, it happens.
Just another Saturday night.
Yeah, sadly, none of your stunts actually apply because you're not going to eat anybody. hopefully.
Well, no. It's just nothing like that's going to happen. But
I'm a feminist.
I am forceful, and I can throw down a fate point for my mosh pit navigating skills to surf through this crowd.
All right. So
at least that's the plan.
Yeah, let's see what the crowd rolls first. So, yeah, they're good at resisting. They rolled a total of 3.
Well, I have a 5.
You overcome the crowd and make your way through. You're now at the bottom of the balustrade, looking up at the mayor and the space nuns arrayed behind him.
Well, I will shout at the mayor. I doubt that'll do any good. Evidently, he's distracted. Their broke-ass saucer fell into the ocean.
Oh my! Did you destroy their vehicle? Are you admitting to a crime?
Their diesel-powered spaceship fell into the ocean. It could have smashed a crowd flat. They're not from space.
Ooh, yeah, he's gonna resist that.
Pointing at their chest, those aren't real.
I guess I actually am somewhere between forceful and clever and trying to convince him.
But he rolled a 4.
Oh, jeez Louise. I've got a 4 too. I am pleasantly surprised. At least he's communicating with me.
Yeah, so you tie. What are you trying to convince him of? That they're fakes or?
Yeah, that they're fakes.
You can see that at a minor cost. The minor cost is that as you're doing this, more than one set of blue-coated arms grab a hold of you and say, come along, miss. You can't be doing here. And you can feel cuffs. They're trying to put the cuffs on you. They're trying to arrest you. But he looks at you and said, they're fake? They're putting the cuffs on you right now. So you're going to be not arrested, but you'll at least be handcuffed.
You can't throw a harpoon while handcuffed.
But you've been handcuffed enough times that you
an exchange student I may have arrived in handcuffs.
that you can easily get those handcuffs in front of you. No problem.
Yeah, that might be the easier way to do it. Just go with the handcuffs and maybe stumble and fall back down where the cops can't get a hold of me. Work my way out of it. But we'll let the rest of the team hopefully take some advantage of the fact that the pigs are keeping me down.
And you get the mild consequence of handcuffed. That can almost basically go away because, once you get the handcuffs in front of you, they're easy to take care of.
Yep.
But he's looking at you going, fake? He looks at him. He says, you're fake. And they're going, no, Mayor. We're not fake. We are. So yes, you can see them trying to put the whammy on him.
Oh, this is where Calypso shows up in his secret identity, in full dweeby retail assistant outfit with
the little paper. You got the little paper hat that says dweeby.
No, it's just that on his name tag. he has the silly little tie and the sleeveless.
Oh, we're gonna make it worse. It's called dweeby for a reason. So you're wearing the red striped shirt with the white collar.
Yes. Yes.
And the black and the red pants. You probably don't have the paper hat on right now, but
No. I'm sure that goes with the uniform, but he hasn't got that on. He has, the classic horn-rimmed tape glasses and the pens and stuff in his breast pocket. And he goes, Mr. Mayor, in my expert opinion, as a junior retail assistant at Dweeby's, where we have an awful lot of good deals. The exact operations of this so-called spacefaring vehicle used these particular plugs that we have in the hardware section, which I recommend heartily. And as you can see yourself, and he tosses up an example, they were made right. And he gives an example of a factory, maybe in town.
AC Delco.
Yeah.
Which means they're not diesel powered, but again, what does she know about diesel powered anyway?
It sounds cool.
All right, so I guess you're trying to be clever at this point.
Yes, I'm trying to be clever.
Pretty clever. I don't like to use your secret identity stunt at this point for this.
Well, it's really only to pretend that he's not Calypso Khan, but if you want to angle it into being his dweeby persona.
and
yeah, it's been, like, he's very terribly trying to, you know, provide information that only one of the irregulars would know, but not by being one of the irregulars.
Right. Oh, of course, he says he happened to be on the scene, and you know, they one of these fell
of
out
course,
of the
course, yeah. So yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, the mayor is definitely, but he's mayor, from the looks of it, you really want to be up there with the mayor right now. Cause he's getting a lovely face massage.
Okay. I shouldn't roll anything or?
No, roll. Yeah, you're definitely rolling. I'm no saying.
Okay. It's an opposed roll.
It's a tough competition. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Basically, you're trying to counter, they're trying to seduce him again. So, the fembots, let's see, they're trying to be clever. So they rolled a 4.
And I got a 6 if I get to count the stunt.
Actually, they rolled a 5. Yeah, I'll just use a stunt because they rolled a 5, actually. So they got a hero plus 1. So, yeah, they rolled a 5.
They're much more heroic than I am.
No, they're minions. They're just having these fully scared out minions.
Well, what am I then with a hero plus 0? Am I a sub-minion?
You're a mystery man.
you are a hero and a 0.
So yeah, you beat them by 1. I guess you're trying to. I'd say you're trying to create an advantage for the mayor to resist their obvious charms.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So that will give him a bonus. So many Mayor Pennywise will try to oppose their seduction rolls. So whoa, he sort of grabs the hand and pushes it away and says, "I don't think so." Police, arrest these aliens. You can hear the air quotes of that when he says that. That's when they sort of take a step back, you know, reach up, remove their robes, ooh, and then reach up, grab the back of their heads, pull their skins off, revealing underneath the fembot bodies. And sadly, they only have 2, not 3.
Like, it makes any difference? It's pure exploitation, no matter how you cut it.
Oh, yes, they are actually creating a distraction.
So Thunderfield thinks they're more attractive now.
Best way to describe them, remember Soriyama robots, the Japanese artist that did those silver-bodied robots from the 80s and 90s?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they look like, without the pointy earpieces. So yeah, they're gonna try to create the advantage of, ooh, that's sexy.
That's disturbing.
So that's plus 3. They're going against the interaction level for this. So they tie, creating an aspect. They tie, but they've got a one-time boost they can use if they need to. So yeah. So what are you folks going to do? They definitely have unmasked themselves, and they got a free-flowing boost of ooh, pretty.
Well, unfortunately, Eskimo girl's going to have to spend the time playing a little hopscotch with the handcuffs and getting them into a position where she can gnaw on the chain.
Oh, also we want to go in quick order. Oh.
Yeah, guess we should.
So Calypso's plus 2, Flint Shield's plus 1, Long Arm's plus 2, and she's plus 1, and the Fembots are plus 2. So the plus 2s, I always let the players go first.
Among we haven't plus heard two. A lot of from our fearless leader yet, so let's go with us. Him, I mean.
Someone back in my mind says, we got to get one of those suits for later. And find a mannequin.
Oh. Eskimo girl to wear one of those.
Someone has to point at them and go, bad robot.
She wouldn't actually fit in them. They'd be too big for her.
No, I have to extricate. I am being held from both ends. I hate to... So I need to extricate myself from these citizens. You said the ooh pretty was the one time use. That means only one person can use it?
No, actually only they can use it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a boost.
Basically, you're not pretty.
Yeah, you're not pretty.
No, I was thinking I could use, I figure the people who have a hold of me are slack-jawed staring at the pretty shiny robots, and I can use that to...
Sadly, it's not an advantage. It's a boost, and boosts are only for the person who rolled it.
Okay, then.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay. I am going to then, because this is a crowded area and I don't want to injure citizens, rather than just jerking my arms and possibly knocking a whole bunch of people over and giving them scratches and owies, I'm going to carefully try and wiggle my arms out of the people who are holding on to me.
It's so considerate. Scratches and owies.
Well, because forcefully is zero and carefully is three.
All right.
That's why I'm considering scratches and owies. So I wound up with one.
And they end up with a one. So you're trying to overcome. So yeah, you try to. Yeah, yes, you succeed. I'm just gonna give you a point of stress. How's that? You get 1 point of stress.
Okay.
Yeah, you do get some scratches and owies getting loose with those folks. Yes, they went slack jaw, but they somehow, for some reason, tightened their grip. I don't need some names for the fembots. So you got Sister Heaven, Sister
Celestia.
Yes.
That's scary.
Sister Celestia, Sister Venus? Sirius.
Or that, yes.
I have Sister Venus. Sister
Saturnalia,
Aphrodite,
and Mother Superior.
Come on, that just has to be her name, her whole name.
No, Mother Superior. What was that one again, Todd?
Aphrodite.
Aphrodite. Yeah, and of course,
her named.
And once they step out of the skins, they strike the pose. And Mayor Pennywise is leaping, is doing something uncharacteristic for a guy who looks like he's in his 50s. He's leaping over the balustrade into the crowd. he's going to try. So you pulled free. Who's next? Calypso, you're up.
And you're muted.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Right. The Fembot theme song is "These Boots Are Made for Walking." Well, he's kind of in disguise, so I guess he'll slip away and try to change back into Calypso getup.
There's a convenient Port-a-John. There are no phone booths. There's a convenient Port-a-John up by.
Perfect.
And it's occupied.
I guess he'll knock very insistently, like, excuse me, I really gotta go. It's important.
See if you get him to come out.
I guess that's being forceful for him anyway.
They only got a plus one.
Oh, and I get a plus two.
You hear, just a second. Flips from red to green, and the door opens up, and two guys come out, you know, adjusting their clothes, going, yeah, you can have it now. And they leave.
Blink, blink. Sort of sidle into it while still looking at them.
Wondering if you actually should touch the seat. And that's your round. Cool. It's typical superhero change. You'll be out next round. All right, now it's the fembots. So Mayor Pennywise is going to try to jump over the balustrade, and they're going to try to grab him. And they actually tie with Mayor Pennywise. That should give you a little hint there. He rolled a minus two, and he's tied with them.
Huh.
Yeah, they grab him by the back of his impeccably made Brooks Brothers suit, and he got yoinked. So they have him hanging up in the middle. You know, one of them has him holding up in the air by his back of his suit collar, and he's kicking his feet, going, "Let me go, you pernicious, perlarning! I started with the wrong alliteration. Ah!" So now to the plus ones. Who wants to go first in the plus one quicks?
Well, Eskimo girl will do her handcuff hopscotch. Get the chain in front of her and gnaw through that.
Yeah, that's pretty much your action. Yeah,
yep. she is kind of doing the, you know, trying to duck down, not be very noticeable, because she really doesn't want to know the police. Let the police know that she can do that.
So, are you biting through the chain in between, or are you going to bite through each cuff?
We're in a hurry. We're just going to chew through the chain.
And Thundersteel.
All right. This is, yeah. He kicks on the light, his theme song starts blasting out, unhand that duly elected official, you fake alien robots, or I will be forced to inflict harm upon you.
So you're trying to intimidate robots. Robots trying to intimidate robots. Okay, I guess you're trying to create an advantage then, sounds like.
Sure, yeah.
Trying to put an advantage on of cowed or something like that, or...
Yeah, intimidated, however you want to.
What are they going to do? Resist with? They're going to resist with clever, I guess. They're going to resist with clever.
Oh, so they don't have to be too clever.
Yeah, that's just being robots. So they rolled a 3, and they said, "You antiquated piece of police machinery. We will not listen to you. We are here on behalf of our master, Dr. Detroit, and we now have your mayor."
Dun, dun, dun.
And now we go back to the top of the hit round. And plus twos. Who wants to go first to the plus twos? Long arm or go popping out?
I have a plan.
Oh, good.
But I don't know if Todd's willing to cooperate with me or not. What I want to do is yell, Eskimo girl, fastball special, and reach out and grab her and kind of airplane ride her around, spinning to her 3 times, and then fling her over the heads of the crowd towards the fembots.
What?
Yes, I'm hoping this is something they never actually did before.
No. I read about it in the X-Men comics and thought, that's a perfect crime-fighting move.
And it's in City of a Hero, and it's something you did in City of Heroes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I practiced it on the Xbox, so I know I can do it because it worked on in training.
That would be, I'd say, creating an advantage for her, you know, fastball special.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not she wants to resist or not is up to her.
Just the whole entire concept of this actually being a fighting tactic. So, sorry, it's like, what?
Super slow each other all the time.
So are you going to be completely dumbfounded and surprised while his hands grab you by the waist and pick you up and starts spinning you about, or?
One, I'm going to be impressed when he picks me up. Two, we'll flail around. Unfortunately, my mindset is going to go not towards fastball special as much as crowd surf.
Yeah, if he can't pick you up, we will be crowd surfing at that point.
Or, well, asphalt surfing.
One would hope not. If he picks me up and throws me, I guess I'll roll with it. I could have just walked forward, but...
You were at the base of the balustrade. Oh, I'd say this would be a fair challenge to pick her up.
Okay.
But you are trying to create that's basically your target number. But you are going to create the advantage of something. We'll figure that out after we see what happens with your roll.
A surprise attack?
Almost as fast as a speeding bullet.
Not the face! Not the face! I'm sorry, that's Arthur's call from the tick.
Okay, I get -2, but can I... Because I'm using my reach to...
Oh, what approach are you using? Are you using forceful?
I figure it would be forceful because I'm trying to throw her.
So that's 0.
But can I...
You can tap your long arm justice.
Yeah.
And we have that unknown... Oh, wait a second. No, you can do it for your third one. Unofficial team leader.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Unofficial... Yeah, I'll do that.
You think you're the team leader, and no one so far has convinced you otherwise.
Theoretically undisputed team leader.
Yeah.
Because no one else wants the job.
Okay, so I can tap that.
I'll have you know, Calypso leads very well.
So you got, yeah, so you have -2. That will take you to a 0. That does mean that still does not succeed because you need at least a +2, so unless you can tap something else.
But could I tap it for a reroll?
Yes, you could.
Ooh, +1. I get +2 for my forcefully trying to
create an advantage. Yeah. I'd say, yeah. So yeah, that's a three. So yes, pair of hands come out of nowhere, grab you by the waist, you start flaying, and through, I don't know, hysterical strength, you're picked up high enough that you're flying over the heads of the crowd.
Well, part of that might have been I jumped out of my skin when someone groped me from behind.
Yeah. And you don't know who it is. Well, you kind of guess who it is because depending on the width of the spin you're going through. And after two or three spins, you let go and you're flying through the air straight for the mayor.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I guess we're going to collide with the mayor then.
So you got the advantage of Fastball Express.
Great, great.
Which you can use on your turn because you're still in midair.
Yes. Okay. While I'm sailing through the air, I will sit there and ponder, how did I get into this predicament?
You joined the irregulars. The next plus two is Calypso. You bounce out of the port-a-john and there's toilet paper. Toilet paper stuck to your heel.
Of course, yes.
You have airborne Eskimo.
All right.
What do you do?
He will dash up toward the fembots and strike a dashing pose and look to the nearest one and go, Chiquita, time for another cha-cha. And, he'll start distracting.
You're doing combat dancing?
Yes, with the maracas.
All right. So are you,
provocative hip movement.
So you're trying to... So the question is this creating an advantage or is this trying to actually attack her?
I'm thinking distraction. Okay, so that's what he's good at.
Yeah, so you're going to try to create a distraction with her. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see. Which one are you distracting? Sister,
closest to the John.
Sister Venus.
Ah, Venus. A perfect match.
She's going to look at you and she's going to say, that's not logical. So she's being clever. So she's being clever.
Ah.
And she rolled up. Oh, she rolled a three.
Okay.
What'd you roll?
Let's see. I have a flashy three. And if I want to distract someone with my maracas, need a five. Ooh, it's a minus one, so that's a four. Then.
But she only rolled a three, so yes, you got to create the advantage of dancing partner. I guess you could probably fire up the old boombox too while you're doing this, so. Yeah. So Venus is taken care of. Mother Superior, she's the one actually holding the mayor by the scruff of his neck. So she puts out, Fembots, attack! The other four are leaping, they just leap up in the air and we do the Japanese anime speed lines. And they're all posed in various combat poses. And then they land amidst the crowd and the crowd, you hear screams and they land in the middle of the crowd and you just boom, boom, and they're getting ready to attack. What they've done now is they're going to try to create the advantage of, oh, they're tough. And you guys get to resist this. Those who aren't otherwise engaged. So that'd be Eclipse's engaged, so Thundersteel, and Longarm, you get to resist this roll. And they're trying to forcefully intimidate you, so they rolled a three.
Suppose I will cleverly analyze this tactic with my 86 processor. And that's not going to be good enough with only plus one.
Oh, you've been intimidated. So they can tag you with the aspect intimidated. How about you, Longarm?
I am cleverly...
You're still spinning around at this point.
Oh, I'm still... This is my chance to make it to the next level, and I'm not going to let some sissy girl robots get in the way of that. I didn't say that out loud in Eskimo Girl's earshot.
Good call.
I'm being cleverly thinking that to myself, and that's even, so that's only a two. So maybe I will let some sissy girl robots.
So yeah, you both get that you had the aspect tag to you of intimidated.
Their servos are more advanced than mine.
All right, so let's go to the one who's actually in flight. Eskimo Girl, you're heading straight for the mayor and Mother Superior. You can do one thing before you impact. What you gonna do?
Scream at the top of my lungs.
Aren't you gonna grab like a harpoon?
Well, Yeah, I suppose grabbing a harpoon would be probably better. So
no, you can, screaming is a free action anyway.
Well, I think we'll, as we're sailing through the air, pull out one of my harpoons, but instead of throwing it, twirl it like a cheerleader's baton and slam it into Mother Superior's hand so that way she releases the mare and I catch him when we go sailing away.
Well, that is four color. So you're going against Mother Superior. All right. So she rolls a, ooh, she's being forceful. So total of plus two.
Well, whenever I.
But whenever Mother Mary talks to me.
Well, we're trying to be flashy about this.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely flashy.
And trying to create a tactical advantage out of it as well. You know, disarming. So we actually have a decent chance at this if I get the right dice. Let's see. That's a plus one, plus three, four. I think I have a six.
Ooh, are you trying to – no, were you attacking here or trying to create an advantage?
I wanted to create an advantage, as in, like, lost her grip. So when I collide into the mare, we go sailing free.
Or knocked on her pins. How's that?
Well, let's see.
Oh, basically, she's off balance or something. Or you broke her arm. Because remember, you got spin. You got these two free taps on that on her.
If I accidentally knock her hand off, I suppose that's okay.
All right. So disarmed.
I suppose I could have, like, caught the mare or something like that. But, well, some of us just aren't that talented. So collide with the mare is going to have to do.
Yeah, I think you collided with the mare, but you get an arm around him, and you're still airborne because you didn't tap that. Did you tap your fastball special?
Nope.
So you're still airborne. So you still have a harpoon in your hand, and you still got a line attached to it. I have an idea for what you might do for your next maneuver, because now you're someplace where you can actually stick a building.
Yeah, they're not wood buildings now, are they?
Yeah, you never know. Anyway, so that was that, and
well, there's trees too.
Oh yeah, there's trees, stuff like that. Yeah, so that means then that takes us back to Thundersteel.
All right, so I'm facing some of these fembots, I guess now.
Yeah, you got two on you, and there's going to be two on long arm.
He will go and just haul off and smack one. Eat metal justice.
She's going to try to be quick and dodge out of the way.
All right, so that's a six.
Oh, three. So, yeah, you hit her with three stress. I think she will tap her three stress box, so I'll put down.
It's five tell, so in terms of how mookish you're thinking of making these.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'll mook them. Yes, so you've taken out all three of her stress boxes. Which means you hit her again, she goes down. Or she takes a... that's right, mooks don't take consequences.
Right, they just... If they have three stress boxes and you hit them for three, they're done.
Okay, so she's out. So yes, you bash her and it's like... She folds it like so much tinfoil. So someone's flying through the air with a mare in her arms.
Yep. Do I actually get to do anything about that?
Well, there are some convenient trees, and there is a the doors to the upper. There's an upper balcony to the city hall that those doors are made out of wood. It'd be a stretch. But of course, if you're really good with the harpoon, it'd be a challenge.
Actually, you know, take the harpoon, throw it at the tree, and using our momentum, we sit there and we swing around the tree like a tetherball. And come to a halt without breaking any additional bones. At least that's what we're going to try to do. I'm not sure, acting like a human tetherball, what skill that is.
It's just it's high speed. I'd say it's going to probably be quick.
Yeah, I can see that falling into that category. That still gives me a three, which is pretty adequate, if not sensational.
You got some free advantages floating around, don't you?
Oh, that's true. Fastball special. Yeah. So we can bring that up to a five using the momentum of those incredibly long arms.
And then I'm going to make this a static challenge. So this is going to be, it's just going to be a good challenge to be able to do this. So unless you roll really bad.
Well, I think a five is more than adequate to.
Oh, did you roll already?
Yes. So we got a 5. Yeah. We harpooned the tree, did the human tether ball thing with such skill that I actually land the mare on his feet.
You come to a skidding stop. For a 50-year-old guy, he's quite agile. He comes to a stop. You know, he stands there. He looks at you. You know, he straightens his jacket. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pulls out a cell phone. Call the super SWAT. We have problems. So it'll take a while to get here.
I'll put my hand on the mayor's hand with the phone. Says, the Harbor City irregulars have got this under control.
Get here as fast as you can.
And that's a scene there.
All right. And then it's Calypso. You've got your dancing partner. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm simply going to attempt to wear out her servos with some very quick, like, dance challenges. So she'll have to repeat what I do, and it'll be far too quick and elaborate.
Oh, okay. Because since she has no aspects that deal with dancing, you might be able to do this.
You have found her weak spot.
This is what I call dancing dirty. I guess that's a flashy role. And,
yeah, and she's trying to be just as flashy. Oh, unfortunately, you realize that even though she's a sexy robot, she's not very flashy.
Well, there's Chrome.
She rolled a 1.
Nobody puts Connie in the corner.
And you rolled a what?
I rolled a the 5.
5. That's 4. Yeah. Is that one when you do the semi breakdance move, you know, like they did in the Saturday Night? There's legs going different directions right now. Through the air.
Does this generate additional aspects on the scene?
You could reduce the damage by 1 and create an advantage.
Do I need that point of stress to...
did you tap... You didn't tap dancing partner, did you?
No, I did not. I can do that. That's true.
You just... At that point, she's parts everywhere.
That last spin was a little too much.
Yeah, at that point, because that gives you, like, 7.
You know what? I think you have just instantly created a fan club.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cameras are rolling.
Drop it down by 1, you still destroy her, and you get a temporary boost, because you know they can't dance.
Ooh.
That's a boost, which means you have to use it immediately on your next time around.
This is the subtitle for this adventure, Fembots Can't Dance?
Yeah, it looks like. They have insufficient flexibility when it comes to dancing. But only dancing. So that's Calypso. He's danced one into the ground.
Yes.
Mother Superior.
Long arm hasn't gone. Isn't he a +2?
Long arm.
Oh, long arm.
Yes.
Long arm of justice.
Hello. I'm sorry, skipped you.
It's okay.
Did I do...
Todd first, but he was in the air, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Long arm.
You said there were body parts all over. Can I, like, reach and grab a leg and try and knock it upside a fembot's head?
Sure. It's a scene aspect. There's legs everywhere. It's you have a shapely leg and thigh in your arms.
To me, a bludgeoning weapon. To Anka Jones, a tasty treat.
So you got Sister Sirius and Sister Saturnalia.
So I guess that would have to be forceful, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Rats. Okay. I got a...
But I'll say that if you hit, the leg will give you +1 extra stress when you hit. Not for the roll, but if you do damage, you get +1 damage.
Okay, it looks like I got a +3.
+3, and you're trying to hit her with the leg. She's going to try to quickly get out of the way. She rolled a 2. So you hit her for 2 points of stress. So she's still up and running, but you put a dent in her.
Take that. No one escaped from long arm of justice.
We still got Mother Superior. Oh, you see the fembots. Let's start with Mother Superior and work our way down. Mother Superior turns and sees you still dancing. She strikes the pose and she starts voguing. So So let's see how well she vogues.
How low can you go?
She's going to try to cleverly vogue. So she rolls a...
like a virgin.
But she only rolls a plus one. So it's, her moves are very mechanical.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
All right.
It's an attack, so...
I'm defending with... Oh!
Ouch. Ouch!
That is a plus one, all told, I think. Yes.
So basically, no damage is done, but yeah, you're not used to voguing. That's something you never got into.
It's not my style, no.
It lacks grace and fluidity.
And hip swivels.
Nothing happens.
No, that's it. Like- yeah, you tied. There's no damage. So you basically, both of you really haven't got the advantage on each other. So, and unfortunately, no advantages, no disadvantages. That's a tie. So, no, Sister Heaven's dead. Is folded up. Sister Celestia does this wonderful, you know, pirouette and then a kick to the bread basket on Thundersteel.
I have no bread basket.
Well, where if you had a bread basket, that's where it'd be.
It's a bread box.
So, you know, breadboard, you mean? No, that's geek humor.
Attempt to forcefully block that kick.
And she's going to forcefully kick you in the chest, so.
Plus two so far.
And she got a minus one, plus two. It's another tie. Oh, she's got plus three. She actually can take it, makes this a plus three because she's got 1 point of hero. So yes, she's kicking
you. I got one point of hero too.
And it's a tie again.
Actually, I imagine that means it was actually two kicks. It's like, whoop, back. Block one, then the next kick comes up. He's like, how does she do that? Then block that one.
I said she's pirouetting, so one foot came up and Kiki blocked it, and then she landed that foot, came around again with the other foot, and he blocked it. And there's cell phone cameras everywhere catching the action. Long arm, Sister Sirius. She's going to try to grab you, put you into a bear hug.
Okay.
So she's going to quickly grab you and try to put you in a bear hug. And she rolled a one.
Okay. Would it be clever to put my hand on her forehead and hold her out of reach?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to cleverly try and do the old, you know, kid brother hold him at the distance. My clever is plus two. Mine's two, so that's a plus one.
Ah, and she's at plus one, so you sort of, she doesn't get a hold of you. She's got a hold of you, but not very strongly. You're trying to push her off, so, and no, they're not soft and squishy. They're hard and round.
So they're jockeying for position then.
Yes, they're jockeying for position. And then, of course, then Sister Saturnalia is going to try to kick you in the crotch.
Oh, ow.
Hey, he hit her with a leg. She's just returning it the favor. So she rolls a plus four.
The whole audience goes, ooh.
We've got to defend.
Yeah.
So you're tied up with her. So I don't think you'd be quick about it. Are you going to try to be, well, you could still be quick.
Yeah, just get that hip in there and block that blow.
Or cross your legs real quick.
That doesn't look quite as manly.
Oh, that's four stress. Yikes. So what you can do is you can take, you can knock off your three box and take a mild consequence of family jewels.
That'd just be a two box because mild is a two.
Oh, it's 2 points. Yeah. So yeah, that's right. I forgot that. So you can take, yeah, mark off your two box and take a mild consequence of family jewels. He's putting on Vienna's boys choir. Oh, you've gotten some stress on you. All right. And that's that. Now we get back to Thundersteel.
All right. I'll attempt to create an advantage for us by grabbing that leg that tried to kick him, and he's going to spin and throw this fembot into the other two fembots that are on long arm.
Ah, you're going to try to create a, what?
They're all in a tangle, in a heap.
Arms akimbo.
Heap Thank you.
She's going to try to quickly try to get out of your grasp. All right. What's your roll?
I'd be at 4, using 4, 5, 6, 7 with my hero.
And she rolled a 2. Yeah. Whing! So, yeah, and that's with spin. So, yes, we have 2 advantages on her. We have advantage of double tip. Actually, I'm going to just create the generic scene advantage of...
That's what I'm trying to do. I throw her into the other 2 that are on long arm, so they're kind of in a heap to fall together.
Fembot dog pile.
That works.
And it's got 2 evokes on it. Now we go back to the top of the hitting order again.
Ahem. Yeah.
We already did you.
That's right. Okay, I jumped the order. Just wanted to make sure.
Who wants to go first, Calypso or...
I don't have a clue, so go ahead, Calypso.
All right. I guess then Calypso will put back his maracas in his belt, and he'll whip out the el lasso, and he'll go, time to wrap this up. And he'll do a split slide through her legs, and lasso her from the back very flashily, and then try to hogtie the robot.
Okay, yeah.
Yippee-yay-yay. All
right.
You know your fan base is only getting bigger.
And you notice as you go through your legs, there's an access panel down there.
I don't know.
Thundersteel's even more interested in him now.
I think RS-232.
Maybe it's an analog connection.
You can save that piece for later. All right, so that is a flashy attack then.
Yeah, and she...
Actually, I guess it's an attack to restrain, so it's a move or an advantage, maybe?
Well, you are trying to put stress on her. So I'm going to say it's an attack.
All right, okay.
But the damage you're going to do is more like you're going to restrain her. So if she's restrained, she won't be able to do anything. And that's the same thing as being out of, being taken out.
Okay.
Because stress could be other things other than just, being broken up. It can also be, crying off in the corner.
True.
Yep.
You're right. Okay.
But anyway.
So lasso is plus 1, and I'm using flashy. We'll see how it goes.
She's trying to be quick about it again. She's trying to dodge out of your way. And she rolled a 4.
I rolled a 3, but, I am the carnival themed disco dancing masked avenger, and I'm the king of the rumba beat. So, I'm gonna spend 2 fate points.
Oh.
Make that a 7, right?
Oi! Yeah. You got it, yeah. So yes, you've taken out Mother Superior. She's hogtied. Artfully hogtied.
I'm making like a cute little bow.
Yeah. She was disarmed, so you actually could have tapped her disarmed twice as well. Actually, no, you saved those fate points. She was disarmed and they hadn't been tapped.
Right, okay.
So you tap both those and they get you the same result. And yes, people are taking pictures of that too, and you're wondering what websites are they going to show up in? So there's 3 taken out. There's 3 and a 2 and 1/3 still out there. So let's go to the long arm. Long arm.
Okay. The one I'm wrestling with, we're grappling for position.
No, actually, the truth of the situation is that you're no longer wrestling with her anymore.
Oh.
She got dogpiled.
She's dogpiled. Yes.
Okay.
That's right. So she's no longer wrestling with you. She's now in a, at this point, you're going, I wish I had a camera because, ooh, wow.
We need to restrain these ladies. What I want to do is, because you can't outrun the long arm of justice, I'm going to quickly grab one with the dual purpose of restraining her until the super SWAT gets here and they can be captured, and also using her as a shield to protect sensitive body parts.
So she's a meat shield.
Yes. Yes, that's my plan.
So basically you're going to try to create the advantage of shielding the family jewels or something like that.
Yes, protect the jewels.
All right, so you're trying to be what? What was I getting? Forceful?
Quick. I was going to be quick.
All right.
Quickly do it, and when I quickly try and nab a hero, because no one outruns the long arm of justice, I get a +2, so that's +4. And then my roll balances out to 0.
She's trying to quickly get discombobulated with the others. So, but she rolls a -3. That's a -1. Yeah, you got her.
Yes.
Trouble is, there's no stress in this thing, but she's got the aspect on her of meat shield. I think that's this okay. Way. Yeah, we'll just put the aspect on her of meat shield. So now the fembots, there are actually no functional fembots on up on the podium space. So Calypso's safe up there. We'll go with Celestia because they're now in the dog pile. So Celestia, yeah, we go and Sirius. So Celestia is actually going to try to get herself out of the dog pile. So this is going to be a straight up roll. She's got to get her head out of someone's, she doesn't succeed. It's just stuck in. She's stuck in there. So we go to the next one. Now, there's two of them now in the dog pile. So she's going to try to get loose of Celestia. Yeah, she manages to get loose of Celestia and stands up. That's basically her action. And when you got a hold of, it's going to try to screw them out of your grasp.
That's an interesting turn of phrase.
Yeah. she's going to try to forcefully. So she actually rolls a +4.
Oh, dear.
But remember, you got two taps on that sucker on the meat shield.
Oh, then I will forcefully restrain her.
Oh, is it forceful if he can use an arm lock?
Oh.
Cleverly keep her pinned.
Cleverly put her in a full Nelson.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Well, in your case, it might be two full Nelsons.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with that, yeah.
Cool. So then that's even so that. A +2, and then I can tap the...
Yeah, you can tap... If you tap it, well, tie. If you tap it... So she's trying to actually overcome you. So if she succeeds on a tie, she still can succeed at a minor cost of getting loose. If you want to make her fail, you have to actually tap both of those free taps.
I will tap them both. I would rather... A bird in the hand is worth an escaped criminal.
You still have two fembot dog pile options, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm about to use those. So,
yeah, they're about to go away because they're getting out of the dog pile. So, yes, Thundersteel.
All right.
You see Sister Sirius standing up out of the dog pile, and Sister Celestia is still on the ground.
Well, as they're trying to disentangle themselves, he's going to shoot a net to try to entangle both of them.
Oh.
Where this net shoots out of, we don't see because this is kind of a family show.
Conveniently, we see him stand. He puts his arms back and goes, does a hip movement, oof, and there goes the net.
Covering these two fembots, yeah.
He's been hanging around Calypso for too long.
Okay. Well, that'll be a shift. Shift up for them, so basically they get a +2 just to defend. Can you try and get both of them? I'm just going to do one roll for the both of them. And, all right, so they were trying to quickly get out of the way, but no, they rolled a -2. So they rolled a 0, and you rolled a what?
Well, so far I'm at 1 because I'm being clever, I guess 2 because I'm still being heroic, and then I got 2, 3... dogpile tags. Right?
And I'd say this would be more of an attack than an advantage, because you basically... Yeah, so...
Yeah, but I'm using that since they're already partly entangled. I'm able to get both of them if they're trying to...
Yeah, so what's your total?
3, 4, 5, 6.
Six? That's enough to give them both 3 stress. Yes. you have entangled in the net.
He walks over and puts his foot on him. You are under arrest.
Sadly, you can't do a citizen's arrest because technically you're not a citizen, but...
His coding says he can do this.
Yeah. That's when you hear the sirens of the Super SWAT team show up in their Herkimer battle jitney.
Okay, Akna actually wants to do something while I've got the ear of the mayor. She'll cross her arms, looking all smug, with the fembot's dispatch. You know, Mayor, we're going to get an awful lot of publicity out of this. We really could use some new floors.
Nice move.
Okay, yeah, so he looks at you and he starts saying, my dear, we just simply cannot afford it. you know, the government's running on a deficit as we are at right now, and there's no way to get out of the budget, blah, 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 and make a roll to see if you can resist his mind control powers.
Well, he's trying to mind control me, and I'm trying to be clever. I'm going to mention, you've got to have a lot of pull with rich patrons.
He rolled a zero, so he's got a plus six on you.
Holy cow. Okay, that's why he's the mayor. Okay, well.
No, because he actually ran a good campaign. His power is only one-on-one.
Okay, well. See, if I stab him, that will give me an advantage.
No, he's sounding very reasonable. Be honest. The long story, he's got this ring that gives him like a plus three to his already potent ability.
So, I can't stand it when women are mistreated. I'd like to include myself in that.
Yeah.
It's like, don't treat me like a second-class citizen. Well, we'll see where we are on the rolls, but aye. Okay, so we start off with a plus one, then we add clever for three, then we add don't mistreat me, so that gets me up to five. Help me, people!
What else? You got anything? You got any fate points you can spend to buy something up, or?
I've got the fate points.
Hey, you're the famous punk rock extremist.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to, believe it or not, also spend a fate point to re-roll a plus one, because I need a plus two at least. So we'll see if I can edge out the good luck there. Throw down the dice. Come on. And zero. Okay.
No new points for us.
There's no money for this, my dear. But, you know, we'll do our best. I'll talk to the city council. We'll see about whether or not we can allocate funds and you sort of leave, you know, satisfied that, you know.
Please, I'm not satisfied. I'm grinding my teeth and damning his fiscal responsibility.
Yeah, but but you understand that there's reasons why you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you're fully convinced, you know, and not at all mind controlled.
I guess I'll stomp off and join the rest of the irregulars.
Oh, yeah. Anchorman's there interviewing. You know, he's already there interviewing people. I think as soon as Anchorman started showed up, somehow Calypso showed up as well. Didn't know he could move that fast. And the SWAT team are busy, you know, putting restraining bolts on the... For some reason, they have specialized restraining bolts for droids.
Of course. So, should we go with an epilogue? Quick epilogue? Yeah.
Oh, and of course,
the time.
Unknown to everyone, a small freighter docked in at one of the warehouses. This engine start up and it pulls away, heading away on board. You know, cursing his fate as Dr. Detroit. I'll get you. I'll get you next time.
I wanted to make a quick note in my justice log. Fastball special with three stars behind it.
Oh, God.
The mayor is sort of forced to publicly thank you for saving the city.
Well, he probably would recognize Thundersteel, too.
Oh, yeah. They're still trying to
figure... Glad to see you out of retirement.
Yeah. It's too bad we already have a name. Otherwise, that would have been a good scene. We are already the Harbor City regulars.
Yeah.
there will be no mystery men. So who are we? Who are we? What's our name? That whole thing. Fantastic. I had a great time.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Thank you for letting me participate, even though you beat me up horribly.
Thank you for accepting.
Yeah, we treat our guests well around here.
Really. And very merry 50th to you all. That is so awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for having the time and opportunity and will to participate.
Yeah.
In our silliness, yeah.
And if you ever feel you want to join in with us, you know, let us know. And, you know, doesn't a certain dwarf have a apprentice he's trying to turn to a journeyman? I wouldn't mind having someone around going, Master Ufkel.
Aha, yes. I see your clever plan there.
Actually, I was thinking, because when I listen to everybody's games, I always think, if I were playing that game, what kind of character would I make? And what I would have done is one of the surface-dwelling farmer pick dwarves.
Ah.
I thought would have been cool.
That's someone you have to be in good with, you know, the provider of the grains.
You aren't really too scoria deep yet, are you?
No.
Oh, hell no. Unless someone
wants to pass. It's hilarious because I thought we would be there in, like, session 4.
Well, I got to say, I was going to send you guys an email saying, you know, I'm enjoying your political infighting and dwarfy society so much, I don't care if you ever actually leave on the expedition.
It had to happen finally, though, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, yeah, what I do love about the system is, you know, it helps you so easily flesh out that dwarven culture and actually have those kind of conflicts. And mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of other games out there that just kind of whitewash and make the whole cultural thing really bland. So I definitely enjoy that part of the Burning Wheel experience.
Cool. Yeah. Let's let our super very special guest star go without.
Before
we get him in trouble.
I'll post this stuff in the thread so yeah we can see what you guys missed out on.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You. Take care.
Y'all take care.
Bye.
Bye. So yeah, 50th episode. At least so far as recording and publishing goes, which is like almost 100 for us.
Yeah, actually, I think it's more than that because of all the ones we haven't recorded.
We don't record shit.
Because none of us know how to record except for that lovely person over there who is no longer in this group.
So the first thing we're going to do, of course, is to thank our only subscriber to the Sunday Skyper site.
Yes,
follower,
thank you, person.
Rather.
I don't know.
Yes, yes. His name is Christopher. So,
Christopher.
You know, one at a time, please thank Christopher
for something.
You
mean the Christopher from every other podcast I listen to?
Yes, XO4.
Thank you, Christopher.
Yes.
Thank you, XO4. There is somebody listening to my insane rantings, which I know I am probably doing a lot of damage by letting that out into the world. Thank you, XO4.
All right, Anna.
Thank you for actually listening. I can't say whether or not it's a good thing, but at least having someone that listens to all of us just essentially make fools of ourselves makes us a little less foolish. It's been, you know, great being actor or actress, I guess, in this case. For you. Oh, actually, no, wait a minute. It'd be actor because most of my characters are male. And
complicated stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's say something fun that you know, you've experienced or something cool that's happened to you since you started showing up for these Sunday silliness Skyper things.
You mean kind of a best memory?
A fond memory, a silly story, like a completely unrelated tangent. Anything you want to say.
I think my favorite, just in pure breaking of a game, was, I can't remember who it was that was running it, but I was playing a Minotaur, and we were on a train.
Oh, that was Deej. That was
yes, Deej, her game. The big boss was charging up. I think I rolled 2 crits, and I killed the big boss. And then I started singing Frank Sinatra's songs till the end.
Oh my god, I remember that. That was hilarious.
Carl, you need special help.
That game, I think, was one of the funnest games we had because that, and where I go to the meth lab and slam my head through and say, I'm Cowman. And everybody falls into their own little vat.
Funnest is not a word, just saying.
Funnest is too a word if he wants it to be a word. Sure, this is not English class.
Yeah, I passed English. I got a C+.
Good enough.
I think it's your turn, Miku.
I pretty much already said my thing. I agree with Carl. The Minotaur thing was hilarious. Wasn't that the train murder mystery?
Yes.
It's the thing that.
I still want to finish that.
That and freaking... let's just say I rather like Zofiri trying to give everyone the fairy dust. Pixie dust. It's just hilarious. It's like, pixie dust.
Thank you, Miku. You just reminded me of something that happened like 2 games ago that I think has replaced the Minotaur. Remember the Krampus story?
Oh, Lord.
And Rinny, yes, Rinny's character, the 8-year-old, they're talking about the steel switch Krampus wields, and she said, oh, I hope he brings it.
Fun and games in Zoe.
We are a loot bunch, we are.
Whose turn?
Let's go with you, Adam. Anything at all that you remember or like to mention?
Oh, actually, it's just the game we had way, 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 way back when I first met you, Will.
Was that Spirit of the Century?
Yes. I enjoyed that game so much. I still laugh when we get to the part where Carl's like, you shot me! Yeah, you want a little wine with that cheese? I have a martini glass right here. Oh, it was so hilarious, especially when my character just got really, really frustrated with, I forgot who it was that he got frustrated with. He was screaming at, oh yeah, that's right. He got frustrated with your character, I think, Will.
Pretty much
stabbing
everyone,
him in the leg with the...
What? No, I didn't stab anyone
or
in the leg.
Was
not...
it, or was it Brian's character?
Are you talking about, wait, is this... sorry, I...
Scourge of the Skies, Spirit of the Century. You don't remember the...
Yes,
big
I remember that Brian shot me.
Yes.
I'm talking about that. I'm also talking about the time when I stabbed myself in the leg with an anesthetic because your character moved.
I had the audacity to defend myself.
How dare you defend yourself, Carl?
How dare you defend yourself against someone who's trying to help you?
You weren't trying to help me. You weren't trying to help me. You were trying to stop me from fighting, and I was winning.
No one's trying to stop you from moving, mostly your mouth.
I was winning. No, I remember. What time are you talking? I think you've stabbed yourself twice then, because what I remember was we were going to the plane. We were going to the plane.
Okay, one of those stabs, admittedly, was a really, really bad roll. That's the other thing I learned about playing, and so they Skypers dice hate me. They really hate me.
It's not that they hate you. They just really love seeing you fail.
A lot.
Moving on. Ethan, you unfortunately popped up after we had stopped recording for the most part. So the listeners won't really recognize your voice. But you've been in some fun stuff. Is there anything you'd like to mention or say, or like a memory or a fun game? Or
well, they're obviously not going to know this because we haven't recorded it, but the Song City thing, Don't Let My Gun Fire Prematurely.
A lot of men have to worry about that.
Oh, wow.
For me, with you guys, I think one of the best moments was toward the end of an otherwise relatively frustrating so game that Carl ran, which ended in Carl inadvertently or sort of accidentally using a kind of advanced Forge Theory role-playing technique called a bang. He just put us in a situation where one of our characters had this bracelet put on her, and the bracelet started creeping her out and wanted to, like, take over her soul, I guess.
You will kill everyone! Kill everyone!
And everyone woke up and galvanized and started role-playing and reacted to the situation. And that was a really cool moment, I thought. It wasn't the first thing I would have expected out of Carl, but I thought it's probably the coolest thing I've seen out of Carl so far.
No offense, Carl, but when Will says wake up, he means literally in my case.
That bad. No, but I mean, that session, the beginning, I mean, that was classic beginning Carl. Like, we're in a dungeon and there's only one way to go, and it even has blinking arrows in the floor, so we can't mistake the direction we're supposed to go in.
Herding cats, people. Herding cats.
Carl is the absolute master of railroading.
Hey, that's what she said.
It's the adventure line from the Stanley Parable.
Oh, really, Ari? You did not see that coming?
No, I didn't see it coming.
She did see it.
I should incorporate the adventure line, the actual adventure line in my story.
I am trying to do better with railroading.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think you've improved significantly, especially with the Krumpus adventure.
And the Treehouse Kids that, well, you missed it. It was hilarious. There were characters coming out of books trying to, they weren't killing people, but they were, like, hurting people.
Yeah, they were popping out and attacking people because they you know, how every world has the stories of great heroes. And for Zoe, these were those people, except they all disappeared mysteriously. But when their images popped out of the book, they thought they were still fighting the bad guy and attacked whoever was closest.
I
know. I definitely did not expect the old lady in the tower. That caught me by surprise. Like, oh, it's totally going to be a dragon. Totally. Open the door. Little old lady. What the heck?
Not only was it a little old lady, it was who you would stereotypically see as grandmother. She had a plate of cookies there with her.
It's like grandma saying, oh, I'm sorry for those little rascals, and I'm trying to clean up their mess, and oh, why don't you have some cookies and go on, dear? I'll handle this. It may take me a while, but I'll handle this. It's like, wait a minute. What happened to the dragon and the explosions and the boom that I come to expect from Carl now?
Cool.
At any moment, I may pull the rug out from underneath you.
Grandma's totally going to turn into a dragon and try and eat us. Totally.
Yep. This is Carl running the game. Round two, swallowed by dragons. Round three, well, we don't want to go to round three. There's going to be a lot of showering after round three.
Oh, Lord.
Bureaucracy 101 with a sorcerer.
Oh, God.
All right, then. That's all I need, but there's no reason we couldn't, like, keep talking about this if you find it amusing.
Well, there you have it. I'm surprised the podcast has survived this long. Heck, nobody even mentioned that there was going to be a podcast when we first started gaming. Thanks to all the folks who have been part of our Sunday gaming, whether they made it onto the podcast or not. And thanks to Rev Midney, wherever you are, for kicking this whole thing off. And thanks to anybody out there who's been listening to us blather away, as we've been inspired by the Gutter Skypes and Monkey Took My Jetpack. Hopefully some people out there will be inspired to game and share their games, because you can do better than us, right?
So it's hard to record, it should be hard to listen to, right?
But what's happening with the mayor, please?
Oh, yes. We tangent.
Send all complaints and other feedback SunnySkypers@zoho.com, or come by the forums, SunnySkypers.freeforums.org, or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.